This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
Welcome to Betting Weekly Extra Time European Edition. You're with myself, Dan Robert, while senior handicapper Steve Wiss is also alongside me as our professional bettor Will White and French football expert James Easton. We've got six picks, three big price plays and a handful of leans across the major leagues in Europe, which includes, of course, our head-to-head challenge between Will and James. Steve, Champions League group stage is done. Is it easier for bettors when it comes to the domestic leagues between now and when European action restarts in Feb?
I think so, Dan. Yeah, I really do. It does simplify matters. You're not having to juggle competitions, are you? And teams are not having to rest and rotate as much. There's less question marks in our minds. And so, yeah, I think it's a period where there's a lot more stability. And, you know, we're not no more European matches until, mid to end of February. So, you know, let's try and make some hay whilst the sun shines. But of course, January brings its own problems with the transfer window open and uncertainty with squads in that way. So as ever with the betting challenge, there's always some hills and obstacles to overcome.
Will, we talk extensively and you're always WhatsApping about market moves, and you put up bets on Mondays, and by the time Europa League or even just weekend games come around, markets can change. Now, undoubtedly, European football has something to do with that. I mean, Union, we're going to talk about later. I don't know if their price collapse for their Bundesliga game is affected by how they performed against Real Madrid. I mean, do you see the markets a lot more stable when there are no European games to interfere with those numbers?
I would say, Dan, slightly more stable, yeah. What I will say is that over the years, the markets have become much shrewder, kind of factoring in likely rotations and squad management, things like that, into the mix. So I wouldn't say it's as extreme a thing as perhaps it could be or was in previous years. But yeah, absolutely slightly more stability in that sense.
Just a more specific one, James, to you about Paris Saint-Germain, because I don't know if it's just me who says this, but when they get through to the knockout stages in previous rounds and they might not have had a particularly hard league schedule, we always think, well, suddenly they're coming up against a tougher side in Europe, and they have had some very nasty draws, admittedly. But it's as if they're not battle hardened. Do you think the fact that they've had to scrape and scrap and fight their way out of the group, will it stand them in better stead? Or by the time we come around again for European football, it'll be forgotten about and it doesn't matter?
Well, I don't think it will do them any harm, actually. This has obviously been a much tougher challenge for PSG than we've seen them face in previous seasons. Now, they've had a real scare, haven't they, in a couple of these group games to get there. But really, Dan, my big takeaway on PSG is I would not be backing them, actually, in the Champions League. I've watched most of their games so far. I think they'll, if they get to the semi-finals this year, honestly, I think that would be a successful season for them in Europe. I don't see them as potential winners. And I was looking at the outright prices with BetRivers, and they're priced up as fifth favourites to win this tournament this year. There's actually quite a big gap opened up between the top four in the betting and PSG in fifth place. I think that's about right. So whoever they draw, they might get through the next round. They might even get through the one after that, but I don't see them as potential winners this year, I've got to say.
Strange, isn't it, Will? Because a few of our handicappers put them up at the start of the season. Are PSG coming under the radar? Sounds ridiculous to say that.
Not for me either, Dan. still not convinced by PSG.
Steve?
No, they wouldn't be for me now. I mean, I'm actually on them. I tipped them outright, and I think Daniel Fisichella did on the outright show. But I've been really worried about how they've played away from home in Europe. They just don't look like getting wins at difficult locations. And there's going to be better teams than what they face in their group. So unless Luis Enrique sorts something out dramatically over the next couple of months, then it's difficult to make a case. Like James said, they could probably get past one or two teams maybe, but there's surely too many hurdles for this PSG team. And I'm even trying to scratch my head to figure out how they can actually improve in the transfer market. And I'm kind of coming up empty. It's not just a squad thing. It's almost a mentality thing.
We've got a bit more PSG chat to come. We're PSG heavy already, but it does feature in one of our selections a little later in the show. Let's crack on with the challenge, shall we? Just a reminder that whichever one of Will James wins, we'll be back next week. And it is winner stays on when it comes to our head-to-head challenge, as it has been all season, will continue to be. We're going to start with Will's first pick of the session, and we go to Spain for Celta Vigo Granada. This is 8 a.m. Saturday Eastern. Celta Vigo are minus 162 here, with Granada plus 430, draw plus 310 here. Two teams, Will, that have struggled this season. They haven't posted up too many wins, but you're quite happy to step into this one. Talk us through your play.
Yeah, Dan, on the face of it, it looks like two very poorly performing teams. We've got the second and third bottom teams in the Liga here facing off. I think the story when it comes to Celta is more about a team that's massively underperforming their underlying stats. In fact, the underlying stats suggest they should have 12 more points than they currently do, which would place them comfortably mid-table. And this is predominantly down to them to not finishing their chances. So kind of cutting to the chase, what I like here is I like Celta Vigo combined with over 1.5 goals in the match at minus 114 versus Granada. The reason being that Celta Vigo at home, they're much stronger than the underlying stats suggest. They've been incredibly unlucky not to win at least three of their last four home games. The 2-2 draw with Getafe, where they dominated, generating 3.03 XG versus 1.01 for Getafe. Similar story versus Sevilla prior to that. They generated 3.02 XG there versus 1.25 for Sevilla in a 1-1 draw. And prior to that, 1-1 draw with Cadiz, where they generated almost the same amount of XG and conceded only 0.35. So, you know, Rafa Benitez is so frustrated by this that he actually left club legend Iago Aspas on the bench last weekend versus Rayo. This is an Iago Aspas with 8 consecutive double-digit goal seasons in La Liga since rejoining Celta in 2015. He only has one goal so far this season, but you've got to think at some point their chance conversion is going to revert to the mean with the attacking talent they've got with the likes of Aspas and Strand Larsen. You've got to think at some point they're going to start converting the chances they're creating. And I think this game at home to a Granada team who only have one draw and 8 losses away in La Liga this season is a great opportunity for that. Granada do have some talented attacking players, and the likes of Brian Zaragoza has been courted by Bayern Munich, I believe, and Gonzalo Villar, but they're very weak at the back. I think this is just a great opportunity for Celta. Benitez is known to be quite a defensive-minded coach, but given the fact that they're so desperate for a win here to improve morale and eventually escape the relegation zone, and given the fact that Granada, there have been 56 goals in their 16 La Liga games so far this season, I think that adding the over and a half to boost the price really makes sense. And that takes it from the minus 167, I believe they are on the win draw win market, to minus 114 with the inclusion of that. So that's my first bet.
Yeah, they have been just nibbled out a little bit from minus 162. So there is a little bit of support around. Steve, not one that many bettors would look at this because we're at the lower reaches of La Liga. What do you make of Will's pick?
It's probably the most interesting pick on the whole show, I would say. James has got a lean later on, which is quite an interesting one as well. But this one caught me out. It's not a typical sort of Will White bet from what he's posted up in previous weeks. Usually if Will's taking this sort of bet, then it's on a top 10 sort of side. But I mean, I looked at these underlying metrics and it's an incredible underachievement from Celta Vigo. And the problem is this guy, Iago Aspas, who's been, you know, a 200 goal player in his career. I look back at his career. I can't even remember Liverpool buying him for 10 million back in 2014. I genuinely can't. You ask the question, you know, is it now time to stick a fork in him? Is he done? You know, he's 37 in the summer.
What a wonderful turn of phrase.
you know, father time. Is now, you know, is this sort of the end of him as a sort of a top level player? I don't know. But he's not the only one, though. There's Jürgen Strand Larsen's underachieving. Oscar Mingueza, Unai Nunez, they all should be scoring more goals. And sooner or later, someone will surely fire. These chances have been created for Celta Vigo. So, you know, one thing that Will's doing here, and it ticks a big box of mine, he's betting against a really bad team. I love betting against bad teams. Granada are not very good, especially defensively, like he said. The only thing I would fear here is probably the old Rafa Benitez 1-0. But it's funny, fixtures are king, Dan, and this is a really soft fixture for them to target. So often coaches have a different game plan in games like this. So it's an interesting one. Like you said, not a lot would have looked at this game. I did touch on it because of Granada involved. It will be interesting to see if Celta Vigo can finally convert their chances and if Aspas can, you know, revert back to his norm.
Lorient Strasbourg for James's first pick here. Lorient plus 135, Strasbourg plus 205. This is Sunday, 9 a.m. James Patrick Vieira under a little bit of pressure, Strasbourg, but he's done a little bit better, I think, last couple of games. What's your play in this one?
Yeah, he has done a little bit better in the last few games, Dan, and that's actually my thinking on this pick here. So I'm supporting Strasbourg here on the Asian handicap. They're plus 0.25 on the Asian handicap at minus 129. Slightly shorter price than I would normally take, actually, on the Asian handicap. But the thinking here, really, Dan, is you've run through the prices there yourself. Lorient plus 135 and Strasbourg plus 205. I actually think this game is a closer matchup than those prices would suggest. I see this as a 50-50 game, really. Even taking into account Lorient having the home advantage, for the simple reason that Strasbourg have improved. I'm not a big fan of what Patrick Vieira's done this season with them since he took over. I think there have been some odd decisions. But to be fair to him, they have improved. They've only lost one of their last six matches. They've drawn four of those matches. And I think there are signs of them becoming more difficult to beat. Maybe a little bit predictable still in the final third for me, Strasbourg. And a couple of the attacking players that they've brought in for this season haven't done as well as they were hoping, but they have become more difficult to beat. And I think on the other side, Lorient are a side who just haven't improved. They're down near the bottom of the table. I personally think they've got a bit more quality than they've showed so far. And I think they should be able to pull away from the relegation zone as the season goes on. But they've only won two out of their 15 games. So there's no real reason to suspect that Lorient are going to turn in a particularly strong performance here. And I feel for that reason, Strasbourg have got a chance here of actually maintaining this slight improvement that we've seen from them. So I felt, yeah, on the Asian handicap, I think really it's one of those games where I thought maybe at this price you'd have Strasbourg at maybe zero goals, something like that. So to be able to back Strasbourg here plus 0.25 on the Asian handicap, that was something I was very happy to take. And of course, with that bet, it means that as long as they avoid defeat here, we're going to make some kind of profit on them.
Quarter ball handicap in Strasbourg's favour. Steve, are we with Patrick Vieira at the moment or against him?
I'd rather be with him in this fixture. I've got to be honest. Lorient, I said it all year, I don't rate this side. I think it's a really worrying statistic. They're in the bottom three, but they're the biggest overachieving side offensively in the league. Only four teams in Liga have actually overachieved their XG metrics and they top the charts. I think they're bottom of the table on expected points for Lorient, which is, again, very, very concerning. And James is right. I think Strasbourg, I can't believe I'm actually defending Vieira here. They have improved the last few games. They've shown something. You can just sense it. I don't know quite what it is. He's been more willing to let the offensive players off the leash a little bit more. I've noticed that they've had more of a goal threat. I've liked that. So, yeah, I actually think Strasbourg should be favourites, just slightly on the zero. So I think, excuse me, they would be the side to be with here. Vieira's shown some slightly positive signs against a Lorient outfit who, if they continue playing as they're doing, may well go down.
Let's get some hot dogs, shall we? Some bigger price plays across the continent. We've got three, one from each of our handicappers. And Steve, we've had 30 picks this season, vast majority from your good self, but we've introduced it from all of our handicappers over the last month or so, something like that, and they're doing pretty well.
Well, the hot dogs, I think, is a big positive for the show this year. We're about 5 units in profit, 15% ROI. Between the three of us, actually, on this show, roughly plus 10 units profit. James has hit several hot dogs, and so has Will. So it's been a real positive addition for the show this year. And, you know, I was pleased to hit mine last week on an under two goal line pick in Germany. So I'm going the opposite direction this time. I'm going in La Liga, and I'm going an over 3.5 goals pick in the match between Almeria and Mallorca. Now, those who might look at the stats here, especially Mallorca's stats, and think, what on earth are you doing here, Steve? Because their last 8 games have gone under 2.5, let alone under 3.5. But I said before, fixtures are king, Dan, and this is a unique one for them. They're away at Almeria, who have a staggeringly poor defence, winless side this season. But, you know, Mallorca, just look at their recent away games, where they've been, Atletico Madrid, Betis, Real Sociedad, the sort of fixtures they've just lost close games. They've probably set themselves up quite hard to beat, defensive, and it's no surprise that those scores have happened. But anyone will come to Almeria and fancy their chances of winning. They will open up more. It's just the way it is, you know. And Almeria really need a win. Draws are not good enough for this side anymore. I think they will go for it. They're maybe not quite as bad. Well, they're not that bad offensively. They've got goals in them. They've only failed to score in about 3 or 4 games this year. So I think this might be a more open game than expected. I certainly looked at over 2.5 or over 2.25 here as well. But I think it could be one of those where it kind of goes a bit wild, or it might end like a 0-0. Almeria's last home game ended 0-0 against Betis. They battered them against 10 men. But I think they'll have to go for it, like I say, Dan. Plus 255 on over 3.5 goals. And like I say, it's just, you've got to look at the fixtures sometimes, the situational spots where I feel both sides will definitely fancy the idea of going for the 3 points and probably won't fear the opponents that much.
That is 8 a.m. Sunday, 9:30 Saturday is Union Berlin against Bochum. And this is one that you are targeting. It is at Bochum, I should say. Will?
Yeah, Union Berlin, a team we've spoken quite a lot about both on this show and the Champions League show. I've had to upgrade them a little bit based off their recent performance under new manager, where they won convincingly at home to quite a good Mönchengladbach team. They're plus 180 here away to Bochum. And despite not being great midweek with respect to Bochum, Real Madrid are a slight upgrade on what the opposition that Union Berlin are going to be facing here. I think the story of Union's season has been the very high conversion rate of opponents. They've conceded 28 goals in Bundesliga this season versus 21.42 XG against. And that's not something necessarily that they can control. So I don't think they really need to do that much to fall in line with what the underlying data suggests their performances should merit, which essentially this season would be 6 more points and being a comfortable mid-table team. So I think under the new manager, they can cut out these individual errors and really put up a good fight here away to a Bochum team that has actually been quite strong at home this season, I will say. If you look at their underlying data, particularly in their last home game against Wolfsburg, they deserve to win that game, generating over 2.08 XG versus 1.03 for Wolfsburg. And then before that, they certainly should have beaten a Köln team that they ended up drawing 1-1 with, despite creating 5.06 worth of expected goals. So that's quite incredible how they didn't win that game. Really, this is just a kind of, I've got a sneaky feeling that Union will start to turn their season around here and revert to mean. And so I'm happy to have them as my hot dog of a week. Their price has shortened, as you mentioned, Dan. I think at time of me tipping this up, they were plus 180 and they've come into, I think they're plus 155 now. What I will say is Bochum have been receiving quite a lot of money on game days, particularly at home in Bundesliga this season. A lot of sharp money tends to come for them. I think based off that strong underlying home data, maybe bettors will see that plus 170 plus kind of line on game day. So I'd advise perhaps waiting on this one.
Oh, yeah, really good info that. Love that. So it's Union Berlin, 118 to 155, but we think potentially they might drift a little bit come kickoff time. That's Saturday, 9:30. Saturday afternoon in America and late Saturday night in France, we have got Rans against Lens at home. And James, you once again looking for the prop bets for a hot dog. You've had some good success here. Who's the player you've picked out to follow?
Yeah, the player I've picked out to follow here is Teddy Thomas of Rans, who is a midfielder. And I've picked him out in the same market I've used many times here on the hot dog. It's the over 0.5 shots on target market. So you just need the player to have one shot on target and you make a profit. Teddy Thomas is available at plus 215, which is far too big. This price is far too big. Of all the players in this market across all the games this weekend, if you're going to have one bet, this is the player to back. Teddy Thomas is Rance's four-goal top scorer, and yet he's priced up eighth out of nine players with Rance for a shot on target. He's probably going to be on penalties. He'll definitely take their direct free kicks, and he's pretty dangerous in open play around the edge of the box. He's a really, really good technical player. He's not someone who scores a lot of goals, but he is their top scorer. And in a Rance side without a natural finisher in the penalty area, which has been a problem actually for them all season, he's going to look to get a goal either from open play or a set piece. So the price here is just out. I'd be very surprised if it stays, but I think, you know, it could be a lot shorter than this actually, and I'd still be quite tempted to take it just because Thomas is so important to Rance for his goal scoring. So yeah, we've had these sort of prices before on this market, Dan. One of his teammates, Amir Richardson, was one that we backed and had success with earlier in the season at a similar sort of price. There's usually one or two every weekend in League One which are worth backing. And this weekend, really, I think there's just this one. But Teddy Thomas, if he starts for Rance at Lens, plus 215 to have over 0.5 shots on target, I think is well worth backing.
Yeah, did the Rance game last weekend, and I thought he was decent. He always gets in good positions. You're right, he takes all the direct free kicks as well. Steve?
Well, you know what? I was looking at this game, and I quite like Lens to win it because I think there's an interesting situation going on at Rams, with the manager situation with Will Still. And this is a manager that's constantly linked with other teams, most recently Sunderland. The rumours that he initiated some talk with them. But he's also linked with West Ham, potentially, and some other teams. I'm interested, actually, to hear James's opinion here, because are we now in a period where, you know, he's almost forgetting the shot on target bet here? I think it's a great price. Tumors look really good, and he may well be on set pieces. But in terms of Rams, James, do you think now that they're just in an unsettled period because of the manager position? And just say Sunderland were to get him, what sort of manager would they be getting? Would this be a good signing for a championship team?
Yeah, I think it's the first misstep from Will Still, actually, as a manager that we've seen this week. The optics are really bad, I would say, for Will Still, because he was linked with the Sunderland job in England this week. We were told he made a flying visit to the UK to meet the club, which is an obvious sign of interest. And I think it will have gone down badly, not only with the Rance fans, but maybe also the players, the sense that he's not as committed to a side who are really ambitious actually to get into Europe this season in out of League One. And he's, you know, he's it looks like he's chasing a job in the English Championship. So yeah, I think the optics are bad, and I agree with you, Steve. I think it makes the game really interesting this week, because Will Still looks like a really good manager, really popular guy for what he's done at Rance. But it'll be interesting to see what the focus of those Rance players is like this weekend, and whether they've been perturbed by what looks like a difficult week for them, with Will Still potentially, you know, looking for a job elsewhere. Be interesting. If anybody else does get that Sunderland job and he stays on, then hopefully for him and the club, things will settle down and we can go back to normal. But he's very important, I think, for Rance to continue to chase a European place, because I think if they did have to change their manager, I don't think that would be ideal for them at all at this stage.
Certainly an ambitious manager. We'll see what happens with Will still. Let's get back to the challenge. Two more picks to come from Will and from James. Will first up with the second pick. We're back to Spain and Real Sociedad against Betis here. Real Sociedad are short at -143. Betis +410. Draw +280. Sunday, 10:15 Eastern. La Real, Will, unbeaten in eight. We're not going to tip them at -143. So how do we squeeze the value in here?
Yeah, La Real, one of my favourite teams to back right now in La Liga. I think they continue to be underrated despite topping their Champions League group, a strong group including Inter. I think the reason why they're going underrated is down to their underlying stats, which don't look that impressive. We've talked about them many times before on these shows. They've only got a +0.15 net XG per 90 goal difference in the league this season, which is not impressive. But despite there only being one place between the two teams here in the league, I think if you look at the quality of players at their disposal, Real Sociedad are really on a different level to Betis. And I was quite surprised that if you add the over 1.5 goals to this same game parlay, you can get the Real Sociedad win and over 1.5 goals at plus money here at +108. I think that's way too big, really, given the dynamics of the match. My model has Real Sociedad as very strong favourites here, around the -150, -160 mark. And then one of the strange things about Betis this season is they've actually drawn their last five away games, four of them won all. But the opposition in those last five games was much, much weaker than Real Sociedad. We're talking about the likes of Almeria, Sevilla, Getafe, Alaves, Granada. Only Sevilla out of those, you could argue, are a solid kind of top table team. So all things considered, you've got to think Real Sociedad are very strong favourites to get the win here. There's another potential factor that works in their favour, which is rest. They played on Tuesday night away at Inter Milan in the Champions League, albeit starting their first choice 11 without Bryce Mendes, who's currently injured. Real Betis are playing tonight in the Europa League. They're likely to rotate a little bit, but that still is 2 days less preparation time. And I think that's a factor to be considered. These are two of the better defences in La Liga on display. But the price boost from -143 to +108 is more than enough to include the over 1.5 to boost the price to a very attractive +108 here.
Yeah, and it's the biggest price we've got amongst all of our handicappers' plays, all six of them, +108 Real Sociedad to win over 1.5 goals in their game against Betis. Steve, quickly on this one.
I like it. I like what Will's doing with Real Sociedad, actually. They're kind of what you call it, his wagon team right now. You know, he's betting on them every week or suggesting them in a lean every week because you're riding the hot hand. They are a very good team. And he makes a very good point about Betis. They are unbeaten in 11 games. But if you look away from home, you'd actually say it's a bit underwhelming. They failed to beat some pretty poor sides. In Europe, they've not been great away from home either. So on the back of two fewer days of rest after Europe, I think it's a really good idea to be siding with Real Sociedad here.
And we said we were going to talk about Paris Saint-Germain again, and we are. They are away at Lille for the late Sunday game in France and mid-afternoon in the US. They are minus money favourites at -118 to beat Lille, who are fourth in the French top flight. James, but you're siding with PSG here. Talk us through your play.
Yes, I am siding with PSG, and as they're minus money, I'm backing them on the Asian handicap to get a plus money pick on them. So I'm backing them -0.75 on the Asian handicap, which is available at +106. And, you know, as you said, Dan, it's fourth versus first this. So it might put people off, actually, that PSG are a minus money favourites away to a side who are only a couple of places behind them in the league. But my view of PSG in League One is that if they play to their potential, or even if they're a little bit below their potential, but close to it, I think they're good enough to comfortably beat every other team in this division. Still, we've mentioned maybe we don't have the same confidence in them in Europe against the best teams in Europe, but I do feel that they should be able to beat every team in League One if they play close to their potential. I was quite encouraged, actually, by their performance against Dortmund looking forward to this game, certainly, in the sense that they did create chances in that match, you know, pretty easily, and quite a good number of chances. Now, they obviously didn't take them. We saw them come very close with Bradley Barcola hitting the post, and Mbappe obviously had a chance brilliantly cleared off the line in that game, and then another one disallowed. But watching the game, I thought, yeah, I'm actually quite encouraged by what I'm seeing here. I think they can go to Lille and create chances there as well. I think they will be focused on winning that match. Lille aren't a rival of PSG, but let's not forget they're a team that did actually beat PSG to the league title not that long ago. It's only a couple of years ago. There is a certain sense when PSG play Lille, certainly in that part of France, that it's the game that they want to win. And I think we'll see that this weekend. I don't think there's any reason really why Luis Enrique shouldn't name a strong side. Yes, we have another round of games in League One pretty quickly. They finish up before Christmas with a midweek round next week. But I think he'll go pretty strong here, and I think we should see PSG get the win. And again, even though this is minus 0.75 on the Asian handicap, obviously what that does mean is that as long as PSG wins somehow, we will be making a profit here. So that was also my thinking. I'm confident they'll win this game rather than getting a draw. We've mentioned also rest on Will's pick. Worth mentioning as well that they do have a little bit of extra rest compared to Lille. Lille playing on Thursday night in the Europa Conference League, PSG playing on Wednesday in the Champions League. And on top of all of that, Jonathan David may not be fit for this game. He missed, as we're recording this, he'll be missing Lille's match in Europe. Whether he'll start or not the weekend, we just have to wait and see. So I do feel that PSG are strong enough to win this, even though, as I say, Lille are only two or three places behind them in the league. And with this Asian handicap pick, if they win by one goal, you're going to make some profit, but they are good enough for me to push on and potentially win it by a couple of goals. So for that reason, I was happy to take the plus money here. It's plus 106 on the away win.
Lots of ticks in the right boxes, Steve, for PSG away at Lille.
There's part of me that doesn't want to like this pick just because I don't trust PSG, but it's a really big price, you know. This was a minus 1.5 handicap last year in the same fixture. PSG have owned Lille since they lost the League One title to them. It's as if they just they got so annoyed by that every time they think to bash them up now. 7-1 last season, score a lot of goals against Lille. PSG have a surprisingly good record after Champions League games. 15-4 goal differential this year. They've gone to places like Rennes, Grands, and won. And they seem to master that. I can't really explain that. You'd expect a bit of a flat spot, wouldn't you? But just shows how strong they are domestically. Jonathan David's an interesting one here. He's actually a really underachieving striker in Liga. And I saw a tweet recently from an account which I regularly have a few tiffs with, a tactical manager, US account, and tweeted recently that the top three overrated players in CONCACAF, and listed Santi Jimenez from Feyenoord on there, which was, I think, controversial, Miles Robinson, and Jonathan David. And it got me thinking, is Jonathan David overrated a bit? Maybe he is. So might not be the worst thing for Lille if he misses this. But I think the values there on PSG, the handicap is very generous for a top side, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm sort of half surprised that Jonathan David hasn't moved on in a way. He's been touted around quite a lot. Is there any sort of recent links, James, with him or not?
Well, it was interesting how that played out this summer. We were sort of waiting for that number nine striker market to move. Balogun, who obviously did brilliantly at Rance last year, had to wait to work out where he was going to go. I think part of the problem with Jonathan David specifically was the money that Lille were going to ask for anybody to buy him. Lille drive a really hard bargain and they do set their prices very high. We've seen that with Osimhen. We saw it with Nicolas Pepe. Obviously got a huge amount out of Arsenal for him. So Jonathan David, I felt, decided quite early in the summer that he was probably going to stay. To his credit, he never complained about it. And he's got on with it. But it's interesting what Steve says there, because I do think he's been a little bit less effective this season and certainly less important for Lille, if you're talking about his importance to that side. But, you know, they'll want him available. So the injury situation with him over the next 2 or 3 days ahead of this match is certainly worth monitoring.
Still think it should be Jonathan David, no?
Yes, absolutely. But, you know.
You know? Was he Haitian heritage, New York born? Anyway, that's for another show. We got pulled up, didn't we, for pronunciations by somebody on Twitter or YouTube. I can't remember. Steve, we need some picks for you. We are running out of time here. You might have to go fairly quickly with you with these. Mainz, speaking about hot hands and staying on the wagon, Mainz for you again.
Yeah, and you know the bet here, under 2.75 goals against Heidenheim. I was really pleased to cash with that hot dog last week. Pressure's off a little bit. At least I've won some decent on the Mainz under now. But same thing applies to them. They keep underachieving in front of goal. They should have won last week, but they kept missing chances. So that's a big problem. I think they really need to look into the transfer market this January to get a decent striker. And, you know, the new manager's come in, Jan Sievert, 100% under 2.5 goals matches so far against a Heidenheim outfit. The worry here is Heidenheim's defence is so poor. But can I imagine Mainz scoring 3 goals against them? No, I can't imagine Mainz scoring 3 goals against anyone right now. So, yeah, this could be, I think, a tight game. Actually, I think Mainz could win 1-0 or 2-0. The goal line is too high for what we've seen from Mainz recently. 2.75 at plus 100, Dan. I'm just sticking with the hot hand. Until they go over, I'm going to be betting unders with Mainz fixtures. So, yeah, I'm pretty confident in this one.
Will, just on riding those teams that keep making your money, when do you stop? When they stop making your money or when the price gets ridiculously wrong?
Yeah, for me, it's all about price. So it would be, you know, when the market is starting to catch up with, you know, the angle that you originally kind of noticed. I wouldn't just indiscriminately back, you know, the team that I was on the bandwagon of at any price.
Yeah, I think I can get sucked into it. If a team sort of wins money for you, you tend to stick with him and the price gets a little bit irrelevant, which you shouldn't do. Metz, Montpellier, your other pick, Steve, Sunday morning, Eastern here. Both sides haven't been great recently. What's the play?
Yeah, I'm going last chance saloon here for Montpellier because they've been so frustrating for me recently. Minus 0.25. on the Asian handicap here at minus 107 to beat Metz. I'm convinced there's a decent team in Montpellier. The metrics suggest they're a top 10 outfit. They just missed too many chances, and certainly in the last few weeks. But at some point, I think it's going to come back to the other side with the players they've got in their side. Akor Adams just needs a goal. Once Adams scores again, he's going to go and get hot again. I know this striker. And it's a great chance against a Mets side for me who are not that good. Really, I think there's a good chance they still might even go down. They've overachieved at both ends of the field. They dig in. But they never worry me offensively, Dan. I've said this before. They scored in back-to-back games 3 goals, but that was against Nantes and Lorient. I said after that, didn't they? They've kind of used up all their goals for a while. And, since then, it's 2 blanks. So I think it's a great chance for Montpellier to go away from home against a poor team. They are definitely better than Mets, in my opinion. No doubt about it. They've just got to start converting their goddamn chances. But this is, for me, now the last chance for them. I won't be backing them for a while if they don't get the result here. I think you've just got to say something's going wrong. And it will take me a few weeks to get back on their side. But good opportunity for me. I like the handicap. If it is a draw, it's a half loss. But I'm thinking they go here and show their class. And at some point, I think Montpellier are going to thrash someone, like get 3 or 4 goals. And this could be the game.
James, would you lay that bet, or would account restrictions come in if Steve tried to bet it with Eastern bookmakers?
Yeah, this would have been my third pick, actually. If we did 3 picks on the game, this would have been my third pick. So I left it off the leans because obviously Steve's got it covered. But yeah, I think Montpellier are a much better side than they've shown so far. I think when they're fully fit and they can put out their first choice 11, I think the front four that they've got, Altamari, Savanier, Arno Nordan, and then Adams up front, I think they can do real damage against maybe not the top 3 or 4 teams in France, but certainly against the rest. And Mets definitely fall into that category of the rest. So, yeah, I think, you know, you line these two sides up on paper, you take 7 or 8 Montpellier players, I think, in it, they're far stronger for me. But they just haven't shown it. And it's one of those where you're sort of betting on, well, are they going to show it this weekend? Will it be next weekend? I think it will happen eventually. So, yeah, even though they're favourites here away from home, that might put some people off, but it wouldn't put me off. I'd back Montpellier here.
We have got some leans for you. They're all sort of Sunday morning. One is Sunday lunchtime at Eastern. We talk about the picks and the plays and the hot dogs, but the leans are sort of effectively third choices from all of our handicappers. So they are well worth playing if you fancy them yourself. And here to persuade you about four leans of the boys. Will, you can go first. La Liga, 8 a.m. Sunday for you.
Yeah, Dan, I like, actually, this is a game that Steve spoke about earlier on. I like Almeria on the Drono bet line, minus 108 at home to Mallorca here. You've got to have a pretty good reason to justify an away favourite in La Liga, and I just don't think there's enough in terms of difference in quality between these two to justify Mallorca being favourites on the Drono bet line. Mallorca, we've spoken about before, strong home team, quite poor travellers. They've only got one away win this season in La Liga, and really it's a game they should have lost away to Celta Vigo. The underlying stats suggest that Almeria are really not as bad as the lead table suggests. Incredibly expected points suggest they deserve to have accrued 12 more points than they have, which would actually put them mid-table, which is quite incredible. Granted, they need to find someone to put their chances away. They lost Luis Suarez and Ibrahim Akone, both out injured toward the beginning of the season. They've really struggled for goals since. But last time out at home, Almeria actually very unlucky to not beat Real Betis, a game we talked about on this show. Almeria generated 2.7 XG versus Betis's 0.77. So I think they were slightly hard done by to only draw that game. And I think there's a good chance they get the job done here, or worst case scenario, it's a draw and we get stake refunded. So Almeria, draw no bet, minus 108.
Against Mallorca, we have done, this is show 16 of the European show. We've had 17 Premier League shows. Don't know how many European shows and European qualifier shows we've done, friendlies and so on at national team level. I don't think a handicapper has ever tipped a draw or a tie until now, James.
Wow, there you go. I did not know that. So, yes,
well,
I'm guessing.
Is that right, Steve? Has anyone ever tipped a draw?
I can't remember it.
I mean, draw on your side with an Asian, but not just the draw.
Not straight on the draw, yes. No. This was an intriguing one.
James?
Yeah, well, and actually that was part of my thinking here. So the game is Nantes versus Brest in League One, and I'm back in the draw, which is available at 2:30. And my thinking here really, Dan, was kind of what you've alluded to, which is, you know, let's not discount the draw, because I looked at the prices on this game and the two teams are really evenly matched, which I think is fair. Nantes are plus 163 at home. Brest are a little bit bigger at plus 170 away from home. Brest have been very difficult to beat this season. They've only lost four games, and those defeats have come against really good sides. They've lost to PSG, Monaco, Lille, and I think it's Marseille. So there's every reason to think that Brest can avoid defeat here. But then the more I looked at it, the more I thought, I'm not sure they'll win this game, because Nantes have improved since they changed their manager. Recently, they've looked a little bit more solid and well-organized and difficult to beat. So it looks like one of those games where the draw is almost the most likely outcome. And as we know, the price on the draw is never really the favorite, right? So I just thought, yeah, as a timely reminder to consider the draw as a realistic betting proposition. If I was looking through the card in League One this weekend and I was told, you know, pick a draw, this would be my pick. So I'm back in Nantes Brest to end in a draw at plus 230.
We are really running out of time. I'd love to talk about the draw. I never know what to do when I feel back the draw, which is very rare. What do we do? Would you cheer for a goal because it's not going to be nil-nil and cheer for the other side to score?
There is a betting video up on the Because We Win YouTube from Nigel Seeley, when to bet the tie.
Interesting. Well, there we go. That is one to do. Will, you must have had thousands of bets in your life. Have you ever backed the draw?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course.
I don't believe you. Maybe like some Serie B last game of the season when you know that both teams still
definitely have
about
that in the first share of those.
Yeah.
Those were the days, eh?
The draw's about minus 700. Very quickly, because we are running out of team. Two leans from Steve.
We'll start in La Liga, and I like Las Palmas on the money line to beat Cadiz. They're a side actually do overachieve a fair bit. I do like the goalkeeper at Las Palmas. He's impressed me all season. But, you know, tough place to go on an island location for Cadiz, who have got a poor away record. So I think on the money line at minus 109, Las Palmas could be backed. And then back to Germany, and it's another under I like. And no surprise that Köln are involved. this was real. I nearly had this as a pick instead of Montpellier, actually, but I couldn't have two unders as the selections, could I? But Cone just don't score goals. Under 2.5 goals in Freiburg, Cone is at plus money, plus 105, I think it is. Freiburg are a team I never get right, Dan, really. Struggle with them, but they have won the last two games 1-0. Cone just don't, they don't look like scoring many goals. So I think this could be maybe a tight home win. Maybe Cone could hold out for a draw, but plus money. If this had been a 2.75 goal line under, I would have been absolutely all over it like German measles. But instead, it's got to be 2.5 line at plus money.
Okay, cool. We'll remind everyone of your two picks for the challenge.
Two same game parlays for me, Dan. Celta Vigo to win and over 1.5 goals versus Granada at minus 114. The same bet, Real Sociedad and over 1.5 total goals in the game versus Real Betis at plus 108.
James?
Lorient Strasbourg, I'm backing Strasbourg, plus 0.25 on the Asian handicap at minus 129. And Lille versus PSG, PSG minus 0.75 on the Asian handicap at plus 106.
All come in. Will wins. Steve, who's your winner?
I'm going to go James this week.
If so, Will wins, it's the first time that someone defends three times, I think.
Unprecedented.
Yeah.
Tough ask, that, isn't it?
Steve, Will, and James. I've got RJ. I haven't updated my script. And James, thanks for your company. Good luck to one and all. We'll keep everyone updated over the course of the weekend. That is a wrap for Betting Weekly Extra Time European Show. We will be back on Monday, myself and Steve, a midweek card. As will one of Will or James, and James, potentially, we might have a rematch because of the quirk of our rotor. We'll see what happens. Stay across all of the BetRivers content this weekend via @BecauseWeWin. From all of us for now, it is goodbye.